two public questions, which is the first one from Abdi Gur is to be asked, and Councillor Whitehead will be responding. Over to you, Abdi.
Good afternoon, Cabinet members and the public. My name is Abdi Gure. I'm from Mindin Haro. I run a project which supports Somali community members. It's called the Hayen for the last 7 years. My question, I'm glad that tonight has been talked about equality, but what I see here is there is no support for BME communities overall in certain aspects of service delivery. So my question is specifically in relation to the CAD ban, which highly appreciated by the Somali community and other communities as well, on 25th of June, how many Somalis have been supported over the past year since the CAD ban to the present date by Haro Council Public Health Commissionate Services with a breakdown of individuals? How many people has been supported since the ban of the CAD? So that's my question.
Thank you, sir. And I'll ask Councillor Whitehead to respond.
I'll respond to that one. Thank you, Abdi. Thank you for coming along. Haro Substance Misuse Services do not currently hold data to this detail, i.e. the number of Somali people receiving support for catch use. However, the provider, because as you're probably aware, we have a new service being provided, and the provider of the new service, Misuse Service, will be required to provide data in line with local authority, our local authority's equality monitoring template. However, Haro Council has undertaken work relating to the CAT legislation. A multi-agency group was organised in late 2013 to develop an action plan to prepare for the impending CAT ban, which came into force in June 2014. As part of the action plan, Public Health have undertaken the following actions. In conjunction with members of the CAT Action Group, including the Somali Hayan Project, the SHP, and the Haro Association of Somali Voluntary Organisations, HASVO, a number of leaflets and posters were published and also included SHP and HASVO contact details for help and support. The publicity material has now been distributed to a number of organisations across Haro, including SHP, HASVO, GPs, pharmacies, Northwick Park Hospital, children's centres, Haro College, Haro local authority departments such as housing and community cohesion. Information has already been forwarded to Haro Safeguarding Children's Nurse, and that's for Cascade, to health visiting and maternity services, and also Haro CCG Mental Health Commissioners. HASFO facilitated a CAT ban community information session, which was attended by the Substance Misuse Services, Met Police, and Haro Council officers. Have you got a supplementary, Abdi?
Would you like a supplementary, sir, to follow up?
I think Haro has failed to really support the community members who has been really struggling, and it has fallen to our community, to our project. Day in, day out, since June has been banned, we were supporting. We tried to meet with the public health commissioner. It was rebuffed, really. I mean, and there's nothing. Only distributing leaflets doesn't make any sense. So my question is, we need an action on the ground. We are struggling to cope, to support the people who has been left behind. Legislation was implemented. Police is implementing. But on the ground, no support from the Haro Public Commissioner. And I understand only it's concentrating on illicit drugs. This Westminster drug, other agencies, you know, which this is a culturally appropriate, you know, ban, which needs to be consulted with the community. I'm founding member of the HASFO, and I'm a vice chair of HASFO as well. So nothing on the ground. The public health commissioner, when we try to contact, there's nothing at all. So that's why we are asking today the cabinet to do some action, at least in relation to that, to support the community members. So there's so zero support, actually, yes.
Yeah, thanks for that, Abdi.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, obviously, I'm no longer portfolio for public health. So I'm obviously happy to speak with Varsha, and for us, I don't want to speak for, on Varsha's behalf, but what we need to do is obviously go speak to you outside of this meeting to find out precisely in what detail that...
We need an action, really. I mean, I've been with the CCG in the public health, you know, public question. I have been with the well-being and health well-being, you know, forum, yes, asking questions. When we try to meet the public health commissioner, we are like strangers. We're asking something a favor, really. The government has banned, which we appreciate it, which is a coalition government. But here, the local cabinet, Haro Council, has a duty for care. And nothing hasn't happened. Leaflets printing, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay, Mr. Gore, I think we grasp the issue you've raised. Councillor Palmer, the new portfolio holder, has just briefly indicated. I'll allow Councillor Palmer to come in.
All I wanted to say, Abdi, obviously, is my first sort of cabinet on this. So what I would like to do is meet you outside of this meeting, okay, and then we can discuss what the issues are and see what we... what next steps we can do and
thank
what
you very
we
much.
Can do. So if you can just bear with me or, you know, and we'll talk outside of this meeting, that's okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
you're
all of you.
Welcome.
Okay, thank you, sir, for raising that issue. Okay, question two. Eileen Kinnear. Welcome.
Thank you, Leader. It's to Councillor Ferry. The public consultation on Harrow School statutory planning document. This document was put out to public consultation on the 30th of March 2015. The closing date was originally the 1st of May, subsequently extended to the 31st of May. We are told that this is a draft document, but that once the consultation period has closed, public representations on it will go to the LDF committee and then direct to Cabinet, i.e. the substantive document will not be put out to further consultation, as has been the case ordinarily with conservation area documents in the past. This means that the officer's comments on the representations made by the public is what the committee will consider only, and consultees will have no further opportunity to comment on the analyses presented to the committee or on any suggested revisions. We're also told that once it is adopted, the document will carry material weight in dealing with planning applications for the area. Would Councillor Ferry please say why he's chosen to deal with the consultation in this way?
Yes, thank you, Eileen. The consultation process we followed for the Harrow School supplementary planning document reflects the requirements of the town and country planning, local planning in brackets regulations 2012, and our own statement of community involvement. These require one formal period of consultation of at least 4 weeks, with the council then able to adopt the document without amendment or to make amendments in response to any representations received prior to adoption. Yes.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Right. This document has caused much concern to local residents. Oh, sorry. Thank you very much for that. It's very interesting. So this document has caused much concern to local residents, both those who have received notice about it and those who have not. And there's also much confusion about what is happening. We've now been told that one section in the document, relating loosely to what we can call, quote, traffic on the high street, unquote, is to be withdrawn from the document so that a revised version would be presented to committee who will decide whether to adopt it or not. In my view, if a whole part of a draft document is withdrawn, it makes a nonsense of the consultation process and of citizen engagement, and we could argue that it brings the council into disrepute to act in this way. If you can accept this view, will you agree that any revised document will become the substantive version to be put out again for public comment before it is actually adopted, please?
Yes, what happened was that when we put it out to consultation originally, and we had meetings with the Harrow on the Hill Forum and several other bodies, we found their main concern was concerning the mixed-use pavement at Harrow on the Hill at the top and other transport matters. Now, we thought that this required further consultation over and above what we were consulting for the supplementary planning document, so I decided that we would take that particular item out of the SPD and just carry on consulting on the rest of the SPD, and I also decided that you should have another 4 weeks based on that decision to give your comments on the other planning matters. Now, the reason that we've taken the traffic part out of it is that when we do traffic management matters, there is a far more detailed method of consultation for traffic matters, and I think that is far more appropriate for what we were envisaging for Harrow on the Hill.
Can I comment on that quickly?
If it's very brief.
Very briefly, then. It went to the forum once, and following that meeting, that was when this proposal to withdraw was put forward. But one could argue that that was a special interest. And what about the metropolitan open land? There are all sorts of other items equally important in this. I won't take any more further time. Thank you very much, Lita.
It went to the forum twice. It went to the forum last week as well.
Yes, but the forum only considered the withdrawal on the first occasion, and then there were emails. But I won't take up any more time. Thank you very much indeed.
If you'd like to contact Councillor Ferry, I'm sure he's available over the telephone or meet. Okay, thank you. We now move on to question three from Claire Goldschmidt. Would you like to come forward, Claire?
I'm representing the Hatch End Association. We've campaigned to keep the Arts Centre open for residents across Harrow and beyond, so we welcome the progress that's been made with the business plan. And we'd like to ask, in the paper for Agenda Item 8 on the future options for Harrow Arts Centre, there are several references to the Council's regeneration strategy and potential development of rented housing on the Harrow Arts Centre site, but the interrelationship is not entirely clear. In what ways, if any, is the paper's recommended option C dependent on the strategy aims, and in what ways might it hinder them?
Okay, it's a question asked of myself. Thank you for coming along and asking your question. The Hatch End site is one of the Council's major regeneration sites, as outlined in the draft regeneration strategy, which has just been consulted on. This strategy outlines the urgent priority to accelerate housing delivery to meet the growing demand for new homes. Any development of the Arts Centre must be considered in the light of delivering the Council's housing aims as outlined in the Cabinet report. The next stage of the Arts Centre redesign will be to work with the regeneration, housing and planning to ensure a holistic scheme can be delivered to meet both aims, a sustainable Arts Centre and the development of a housing scheme. Do you have a supplementary, madam?
It overlaps with your answer, but it was to ask the Arts Centre site is actually currently designated for arts and leisure under the local plan, and it has a long history of education. So we want to know how and when you were intending to consult on the possible change of use, and will the Council be considering options other than housing for whatever part it's considering housing, including continued use, its continued present use, or possibly for a free school?
Okay. Well, the latter issue around a free school, I have no information to update, unfortunately. Just in response to consultations, all necessary consultations will be carried out, and I know the Hatch End Association have a keen interest in this area, but I think you can see from the paper tonight and the plans which the team and the portfolio holder have been working on, the Council's intention to support that campaign you said you've been running to keep the Arts Centre. But I think it's important that we look at a site as a whole and what the potentials are. And sustainability is a key part to not just this site, but how we do business here at the Council. And so everything plays a role. And I think the report we're going to be discussing tonight captures much of what you're willing to see, in order so there is leisure facilities, in inverted commas, on that site, but also the opportunities to maximise the potential to counteract some of the other pressures which this council is being faced with. And so I hope not just you, but in your community and your association will welcome today's report. So I can't be as straight as that, but I appreciate you coming and taking the time to ask me a question. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we come on to our final question, which is from Raksha Pandya. Please come forward, and this is to be asked of Councillor Whitehead.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Yes, I would just like to know, when is the final version of the report from NDTI commissioned by Harrow Council in 2013 to further improve the uptake and experience of personal budgets for people with enduring mental health needs? When is it going to be published?
Thanks, Raksha, for your question and coming along this evening. The final draft of the report has not yet been produced. We are in discussion with the NDTI in regard to this. A meeting to discuss the Council's work towards personalisation for mental health clients has been offered to mental health service user groups. This meeting will help shape the design of improvements to the current mental health offer. The final version of the report will be published after it has been agreed by the senior boards of the participating organisations.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yes, thank you, leader.
Of course.
Okay. I'm sure that you would agree that in these times of austerity, it's important to have value for money. NDTI was commissioned £25,000 to produce a report, consult with service users, and train staff at CNWL about personal budgets. We were promised that the report would be published at the end of November 2014, the 8th of January 2015, and this is in reference to the HSC Scrutiny Board. Why is it taking such a long time? Because NDTI are prepared to release that report, but are telling us that the Council are not letting them release it.
Just so that I understand what you're saying, is that you've contacted NDTI and they say as a local authority, are not allowing this release. I'd have to look into why the reasons are, because I haven't seen the report myself as yet. So I don't know what the issues are around the release of that information, whether it's that we're not satisfied with the way the report's been done, and therefore want further work to be done on the report. So I'll have to, obviously, because I haven't read the report myself and I haven't been made aware of the reasons for the delay, I will have to go back. Obviously, it's a very early days for me yet, so I'm not aware of all the issues that around this particular topic. Okay, so I'm quite happy to meet you outside the meeting, actually, once I get some information about the delay and when we can expect it, the information to be released, and also why there is a delay. Then I'll let you know as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, is that okay? If you make contact and we can provide the relevant information. Okay, thank you, Councillor Whitehead. We move on to item 5, which is Councillor Questions.